to this question, what is really doing something to end this system and what isn't? The first writer, Finn, replied, and this is a paraphrase, seemingly small acts of resistance done by more and more can't hurt. And he's thinking of and talks about community gardens, collective bike shops, hen houses, you know, sustainable living practices. So to this question, and he replied, I paraphrase, seemingly small acts of resistance done by more and more can't hurt and cumulatively may open that door to freedom if propitious forces push them to the necessary momentum. And the other writer, Jesse D. Palmer, said something initially similar, but then veered horribly off key. From useful sharing, he took us into horrifically, horrifically bad strategy. Seemingly small acts of resistance done by more and more can't hurt. And then in any case, collapse will come. And the infrastructure that blossomed in the wake of our self-healing moments will be most welcome. And I have to say, I did hear that in Hawking books. I did hear that, but I didn't realize how many young people actually think this. And this is scary to me, truly. And this is, again, why we need to talk about the fact that power operates clandestinely and that they gotta go and they ain't moving from their straight ahead, no holds barred focus on it. They ever have been. That's why they've been spectacularly successful, that single-mindedness of focus. Now, both of these writers, I suspect, would agree with that man I met. You know, the one who said, I'm my own man. That in resisting the system, it doesn't own them. They may even believe that they, more than most, are self-determining by being more conscious of the forces that shape, quote-unquote, capitalist society and how they are constrained by them. And of course, the system reinforces this notion of that we can be self-determining by selectively rewarding achievement and holding up the select as evidence to validate the system. Marcuse noted this outcome too of the democratic interjection. Folks telling themselves, how can you be in need of liberation if you're already free? And there's a risk in this, which requires our discussion of a possible conclusion to this inaccurate assumption that I know what's happening, but most folks don't. And a further risk attendant upon this inaccurate assumption is to conclude from it that others are stupid. And from this to imagine that if this is so, our situation is hopeless, and we truly are stuck in this system ad infinitum. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not suggesting that our two slingshot contributors think this. I mean, think this about the reason why we're stuck is because people are stupid. What they are saying of what I'm saying here is that they feel, one of them feels, was struggling with a feeling of powerlessness. What I'm saying is that it's imperative that our actions become more conscious, which happens by, just as they're doing, discussing them, putting their true feelings out there. And certainly that's what I'm trying to do here. Quote, regardless of the details of theory and preferred tools for an, and this is a quote from Finn's article, Existential Compost. Regardless of the details of theory and preferred tools for enacting change, the idea of a functional stateless society is very broad and complex. Getting to a point where such a world is feasible requires massive change in social infrastructure. And my interjection, I referred to this last week about how my reaction to the anonymous what did he call himself? Insurrectionist Ted, you know, wanted to smash stuff. And I said, excuse me? Oh, that no, what he said was we have to make a hole to put our new society in. And I thought, excuse me? I mean, this is the electrician in me too. I put that pipe in. I ran that circuit. What is it you want us to raise to the ground? Come on. We create everything. This is us. This is our stuff. Infrastructure means us, our hard work. No, that's not what needs to be dismantled, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Forgive. So massive change in social infrastructure. Okay, he said social. Social infrastructure. I guess that means our interrelationships, and that's what he's considering massive. So I don't want to not give him his due here. Sorry, sir, ma'am. But nonetheless, you get to my age and you realize, I mean, particularly in this society where we have to be quick change artists, right? Jump into one job. Okay, what am I now? Jump into another job. Okay, what am I supposed to be now? back and forth. Okay, I'm this, I'm that. By the time we're ready to be shoveled in, we never knew who we was ever. We lost ourselves so long ago. No. We are malleable beings. And let us for once get a chance of being free. Oh, my Lord. We will rebuild and create and innovate so fast. Our necks will get whiplash. Just trying to watch it all happen. All right. Massive change. We are creative beings. You got to trust your brothers and sisters. See, I mean, that's what I'm trying to get at here. Trust, if when we start to trust each other, it doesn't feel massive anymore. We have enormous power and creativity and energy and goodness of heart, despite the propaganda we get ad infinitum. So anyway, he sees or she sees massive change needed in social. And then continuing. And while I'm certainly not in opposition to idealistic end goals, I do support framing one's personal. This, I can see the two-year-old here. I'm sorry. You got to be realistic. Oh. Where are the other elders out there who are going to step up here? I mean, we watch the babies come up. We see their hearts get broke. We see them let go of their dreams. You get to an age where you have to know that's not right. Their dreams matter more than these power guys. Pretensions. And so we step up. Come on, elders. Come on. You got some cleanup work to do. We got to make amends for misleading the children.